Good. Hallelujah. Thank you, John, for sharing that beautiful, beautiful song. Amen. Because the greatest treasure of all is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is because of him, and it is for his sake, amen, that we are called to be the saints and called to be the ministers of God. Amen. And it is such a privilege to serve him, such a blessing to know him. There is nothing like it in all of the world. There's nothing like our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no one else. No one else. There's no love like his love. There's no grace like his grace. There's no mercy like his mercy. He is the treasure of our hearts. Men, I want to begin tonight with the beginning of his ministry, found in Luke, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse. I'd like to share tonight about the power of the anointing as an essential for the ministry. The power of the anointing. As Jesus stood in the synagogue, he had been to the river to be baptized of John. Coming out of the water, he was baptized and clothed upon by the Holy Spirit in bodily form. Then he went for 40 days to be tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And he overcame our adversary. He overcame our adversary. He was tempted in every point, and he became victorious, and he overcame the devil. And because he overcame, we can overcome. And the Bible says we are more than overcomers through him who loved us and who gave himself for us. Amen. But as he stood to begin his ministry, the Lord spoke these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The first thing that Jesus declared was he declared that he was anointed. That he was anointed of the Father to do what he had been sent to do and what he had been called to do. And it was through the power of that anointing that he would accomplish the works that were given for him. And if it is true of him, it is true of us. Because, he said, because he has anointed me. Because he has anointed me. There's something about the anointing. You cannot anoint yourself. It has to be done by someone else. And he declared, the Father has anointed me. He stood in that power. He stood in that authority. And he stood in that purpose. He knew that he had been anointed. Now, I'm going to just say something. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Okay, this something caused the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him. It was that he had been anointed of the Father. Now, he was anointed, I believe, before birth. You know, they sent to the theologians, Herod sent to the theologians and said, where is he who is born the Christ? Just like John the Baptist was born full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was born the Christ. He was born the anointed. He came anointed. He was anointed not of men, but he was anointed of the Father. And that anointing is what empowered him to do his ministry. That was the first thing. And it was the most important thing to establish. He has anointed me. I have been chosen of the Father. I have been empowered of the Father. I have been anointed to preach. There's, I think, a difference between the anointing and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out. The anointing is rubbed in. One is an experience, and the other is a relationship. And I believe that it is important at this time as the body of Christ that we understand the necessity of both the power of the Holy Spirit and of the anointing. When you read the Old Testament, you read where, for instance, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he was empowered to do amazing things, far beyond his human potential and his human strength. A divine enablement came upon him. But that came upon him did not change what was within him, because it was only the Spirit upon him. And the difference between Samson and Jesus was Jesus had the anointing in him and the Spirit upon him. The anointing, I believe, is the expression of the Father himself. One thing Jesus makes clear in his ministry, he says, the Father is in me. The Father is in me. The things I do because the Father has sent me. The things that I do because the Father is in me. The things that I say, I have heard from the Father. Everything Jesus did came out of that internal relationship of the Father abiding in him and he abiding in the Father. I believe that's the power of the anointing, is the abiding of the supernatural presence of an almighty God in a human being that enables them to be more than they can be and enables them to be what needs to be done. Amen. But the anointing designates all through the Old Testament. The priests were anointed. The kings were anointed. The prophets were anointed. And that anointing designated them for a specific task or specific ministry. Amen. And so the anointing upon our lives also empowers us. And I want to state just here simply, if I can, I believe that all of us are Christians are to be anointed. God has anointed some to do this and some to do that. Amen. But yeah, I don't believe Jesus said, he says, you can do nothing without me. Okay. To take it to the simple terms, I don't think you can take out the trash in the name of Jesus without the Lord. I don't believe you can do the simplest thing, much less the greatest thing. It's all intended to be done through the power of an indwelling Savior and an almighty God. That is the power that is available to the church. Amen. I can bring a vacuum cleaner in here and ask you to vacuum the floor. But if you don't plug it in the wall, you're not going to get much done. And so I can tell you that it's when we plug into the power of God that something begins to happen that what God wants to happen. And Jesus was very specific. I've been anointed for a specific purpose. He was not anointed to make money. He was not anointed to run for political office. He was not anointed for those purposes. He was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. He was anointed, very specific reasons that the anointing was upon him. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberties to the captive. I'm adding that, but that's what he's saying. He sent me to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. The jubilee of Almighty God. He knew that he was anointed. And he knew what he'd been anointed for. Because, amen, when God gives you authority, that authority operates within the scope of that purpose to which the anointing is given. Amen. You don't want to be operated on by a kindergarten teacher. But neither do you want a surgeon running the kindergarten. Does that make sense? Because the anointing comes for a purpose. God gave that purpose in the mouth of the Lord. This is what I have come to do. He knew who he was and he knew what he'd come to do. Amen? How powerful that is. And how we see the results of that throughout the Gospels. And we read in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And it's that last phrase that I'm trying to focus our attention on. And God was with him. The reason that was possible is because God was with him. You can also say he was with God. But just as he said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, without the Father, I can do nothing. There's a relationship of dependence there upon the Almighty. Amen. And I believe God's calling us to relationship, to dependence upon the Lord. Amen. Some of us in the charismatic movement, we got baptized with the Holy Spirit and we went about doing good by ourselves. We kind of ran ahead of the Father sometimes, but we had a gift and we were going to use it by George. How many of you, am I the only one who did that? Okay. Because the thing is the gift isn't given to be operated apart from the giver. And it's not given to be operated apart from the purpose to which it is given. When you use some gift for the wrong reason, amen, then it's not effective. And it even undermines the confidence and the faith that people have in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I'm trying to share with you tonight a greater necessity, if you will. And that necessity is the necessity of abiding. The necessity of being in that place of relationship, a continual and consistent relationship with the Father. And when you bring these two things together, the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the indwelling Christ, you got something. And I believe it's something that God wants to raise up in the church in this day and in this hour. I believe this is what is going to cause us to be able to be what God needs us to be in this time. We are in an incredible season. I don't know about you, but I felt the Lord change the calendar in my life. A few weeks ago, I celebrated 50 years in the ministry, and I took time to wait upon the Lord. But I felt the season changing, and I felt God doing a new thing, not just in me, but in the earth. And I believe the body of Christ is being brought to that point where we are to enter into our inheritance. Even as there was a day when Israel was brought to the River Jordan and they were to enter into that God has promised them, I believe it's time for the body of Christ to enter into the fullness of what God has promised us. The Bible says, open their eyes that they might see the riches of their inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's time for us to rise up and go in and take that inheritance. The meek will inherit the earth. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's saying a lot. That doesn't just mean we're included in the will, that we're going to get a little something. Joint heir means we're going to get what he's got. We're going to rule and reign together with Jesus Christ when he returns upon the earth. Amen. But I believe we are in a time of preparation. A time where the final harvest is going to come in, and it depends upon us having that abiding of the anointing in our lives. in a way, amen, that I believe God wants to make greater than ever before. There is tremendous power in the anointing, the power to break the yokes. Do you notice how many things are holding people back? Do you notice how many things people have come into agreement with? Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's sexual addiction, maybe it's religious bondage, maybe it's personal tragedy, but something has overtaken their lives and they are in a terrible yoke. What's going to break the yoke and set the oppressed free? What's going to set them at liberty? The anointing. In Isaiah 10:27, it says this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." A lot of people used to misquote that passage and say the yoke will be broken. This yoke will be destroyed. Right? Because we don't want that yoke to be put to use ever again. We want that yoke destroyed, not just released. We want it destroyed. And I believe the power is there for the body of Christ to through the anointing, to destroy those yokes that have held God's people back. And it caused them tremendous suffering. Amen. But the thing is, we might ask ourselves, what must we do? Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews. I'm in the first chapter, and I'm going to quote from the 10th chapter. But turn with me just quickly to your first chapter in the book of Hebrews. You have your Bibles with you tonight. But the first thing is, even when I was ordained by a bunch of religious folks 50 years ago, in order to be anointed for the ministry, I had to kneel. I had to kneel down. And I had the position where others could anoint me with oil and lay their hands on my head. But I had to kneel down. I had to submit who I was to the calling that God had called me to. I had to submit my will to the will of the Father. I had to submit my being to his being. Amen. But you have to kneel to be anointed. You have to bow down before the Lord. You have to submit to something and someone greater than you are. And you don't just do it once. You come time and time and time again. And one of my mentors, Pastor Patricia Ruthford, who was one of the founding pastors of this church, told me, says, "John, every time God uses you, every time there's a miracle, you get down to that altar, you get down on your knees, and you submit to God all over again. You come back to that place of dependency. You come back to that place of humility. You don't put that badge on your chest and look what I did. No, you come to that place of dependence and come back giving God all the glory, but also coming again to say, Lord, I submit to you. Because you have to submit if you want to be anointed of the Lord. You have to bow down. But there's also an attitude of the heart that is so very important. And we find this in Hebrews, the first chapter. Verses 8 and 9. "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and you have hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." What was it in the heart of Jesus? He had, on one hand, an absolute love of righteousness. And he had, on the other, in his own heart, a hatred of evil and lawlessness. Amen? And that, I believe, is so important when I was studying in high school and learning the laws of physics, etc. I remember that that what determines the charge in the battery is the difference in polarity between the positive and the negative. And the greater the difference, the more power is in that battery. And you have a negative that hates evil, and you have a positive that loves righteousness. And the greater the difference in polarity, I believe the greater the difference, the greater the anointing will move and flow through us. But it's a time to rise up. It's okay. You don't want to hate people, but you have to hate wickedness. You have to hate lawlessness with everything in you, because lawlessness and wickedness will destroy the lives of people. And God hates it, and we need to agree with him. Amen. There's a place in Proverbs that tells us there's seven things God hates. Amen. And sometimes as Christians, we're afraid to hate something. But God created that emotion for a reason. Just as he created a desire to love righteousness for a reason. Amen. And I believe that's part of this. Because if the Lord is dwelling in you, amen, you will become very sensitive to rebellion. I don't like mine and I don't like anybody else's. And the closer I am to the Lord, the more that's true. Amen. Pretty soon you develop a scent, you can smell that thing a mile away. And sometimes we pull back from the throne of God because we don't want to be that sensitive. We don't want to be that in tune. But I believe as the people of God, we should never countenance rebellion. We can love them, we can pray for them, but we better not sympathize with them. Because if you sympathize with somebody who's in rebellion, you're pushing them into the gates of hell. That's the price of agreeing with people in the wrong way. I understand why people rebel. I understand why I rebelled. But I can't have any sympathy for myself. And I should not have sympathy for others. But at times in my life I have. And I have found it disastrous to be in sympathy with sin, whether it's in my life or somebody else's life. The power of the anointing comes into Jesus' life because he loved righteousness and he hated lawlessness. Amen. And I believe God's calling us to a new sense of those two things to be revealed in us. Hallelujah. But I also want to talk tonight not just about the power and the potential of the anointing, but the privilege of the anointing. The privilege of it. How many of you think that Jesus might have known how to pray? How many of you think his prayers might be answered? Well, the last one he prayed was, O righteous Father, in John 17:25, the world has not known you, but you have known me. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it. For what reason? For this reason, that the love with which I have loved you may be in them, and I in them. Whew. Wow. That's what the Lord desires for every one of us. His purpose was that the love which the Father had for him might be in us. That blows my mind. I know Jesus loves me. I know God loves me. But to think for a moment that he loves me with that same love with which he loved his son Jesus Christ is just way out there. But that's what the Word of God says, and I believe we're inclined to must have to believe it. Because this is what Jesus prayed for us. And if he prayed for us, I believe it is a potential, it's a possibility, and it will become a reality in the lives of some people who dare to believe that that love can dwell in your hearts. Because you need to know how much God loves you, because that enables you to love others the same way. That's part of the privilege of it. But the other privilege is that the Father comes to dwell, that Jesus comes to dwell in us. And again, that baffles me. That baffles me. That he wants to dwell in us. But he came and he took upon himself human flesh once to become our Savior. But he wants to come and incarnate himself in the heart of every believer and abide in us and allow us to abide in him. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. We used to sing the old song, "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms," being able to walk in a continual and constant fellowship with Jesus Christ is our privilege. It's our privilege. It's our privilege. And I can tell you tonight, I don't have many regrets in my life. But the one thing I do regret is I didn't make more of some of the opportunities I had to lean upon those everlasting arms and to walk in that blessed fellowship. I know there were days when the alarm went off and I've got so much to do, and I jumped out of bed and I ran out the door and I went through the day and I didn't talk to Jesus. But I was about the Father's business. I was doing the work of the ministry. I was being the pastor. I was doing those things. But I had forfeited something that day. And I believe the people around me also had to forfeit something because of what I did. Because I didn't take advantage of being in the continual fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's powerful and it's wonderful and it's exciting and it's even interesting. The Lord and I had a wonderful conversation the other morning, and I didn't want to move away, but my wife had asked me to wash the windows that day. You know? And I went out to wash the windows, and the Lord went out to wash windows with me. I could just feel him there. And I got up, and there was one window. It was way up there. And suddenly I had this revelation that the end of my window washer was about to fall off. And so I brought it down very carefully. But as I brought it down, it fell off anyway. The pole kind of bounced, and this thing flipped off and went in the gutter. And the instant it went in the gutter, I had a revelation of what to do. I walked behind the house, grabbed this one thing, was able to reach up and pull it out, put it back on. That's smarter than me. I had some help there, and I acknowledge it, that Jesus knows more about window washing than I do. Pastor, that doesn't matter very much. Well, I'm sorry, but it was a wonderful example to me of what Jesus Christ can do in our life when we let him abide with us. He wants to go with you wherever you go. He wants to be with you in every moment of your life. And there's an incredible power and there's a credible privilege in that. John says it in 1 John. This is where he speaks to us about the anointing. John 1 John 2:20-21. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Does that sound impossible? You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wow. That's privilege. That's powerful. That through the anointing, we can know all things. Now, can hope that it doesn't happen all at once. But what I believe that means is that you can know what you need to know in a given situation. You can know what to do. You can know what to pray. You can know what to say because of the anointing. In that moment, you can know it. That to me is an incredible privilege. He goes on to say in 1 John 2:26, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you don't need anybody to teach you, But that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it taught you, you will abide in him. Do you see the relationship with the anointing, the teaching, the impartation, the revelation of the anointing in the life of the believer? Because this isn't specified just to people who are in the ministry. 1 John was not just written to people in the ministry. 1 John was written to the body of Christ in Asia. It was given to us by the Holy Spirit and transmitted down through the ages so that you and I might know that we have access to the anointing. And especially this second passage of Scripture has to do with the last days and the I'm not going to call it the ministry, the business of the Antichrist, who is out to deceive what? All flesh, if he could. He's ambitious, and he would like to deceive all flesh. But the Bible says, but you have the anointing. But you have the anointing. But you have the anointing. In my life and ministry, I've been thrown into places that I've never been before. I was pastoring in a college town in Utah. We had a couple in our church, professor and his wife, from Taiwan. They had a Chinese fellowship in their house once a month, and they would have anywhere from about 40 to sometimes 80 international students from Taiwan come to their house, and they would have a meal together, and they would have a Bible study. And several times, Pastor Judy and I were invited to come and join this Bible study and invited sometimes to teach and be a part of it. Most of it, we got to eat all that good food. It was wonderful. And but I got a call from him one day. He says, Pastor, you need to come up here. I said, why? He says, my wife and I are getting a divorce. I'm like a 28-year-old, wet behind the ears kid. And I'm driving up to go to his house and talk to him. And I walk in the door and I'm met by a man who's very, 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 very angry. And as I was coming up the hill, I did know, Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. So I knocked on the door and this guy comes to the door and he's angry. And he's almost yelling at me, Pastor, we're getting a divorce. And this great boldness came upon me. I said, no, you're not. Sit down. Shut up. And I talked to those two people, and they're still married to this day. They didn't prescribe that as a counseling technique in seminary. But I can tell you that in a given situation, the Holy Spirit, the anointing within you, the abiding of the Lord Jesus Christ can teach you things you didn't know that you knew and do things in you that you didn't know he could do. Amen. And I believe it's time for all of us to rise up in the power of the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of this conference is empowered for ministry. And I believe we need the Holy Spirit upon us, bearing witness to the Jesus within us. And I believe then we will become powerful people who can declare to this generation the good news of the gospel. We can go into situations that are completely and totally disastrous. Amen? I heard of a missionary in South Africa and had a wonderful miracle ministry, and this one woman wanted to go and see how he did it. And so he said, well, you want to come with me? So he invited her to go with him one day. And he says, well, where are we going? He says, I'm going out here to this village. He says, why are we going there? He says, because there's a witch doctor and he has a school for witch doctors there. And we're going to go there and preach the gospel. And inside of this man's house, there were about 20 young men studying to be witch doctors. And so this woman, they get closer to the house and She gets scared and says, what do I do? What do I do? He says, just stay right behind me and be quiet. And he walked up to the door of that house. He opened his Bible and he said, may the light of the God of this Bible, this book, shine into this darkness. And this group of witch doctors who were chanting and dancing around and conjuring up demons suddenly became totally confused. And in a few moments, they began to fall over on the ground and begin to cry out to God in repentance. Because the anointing rose up in a man that gives a... The anointing was greater than that darkness. And you and I do not need to fear the darkness because the anointing abides in us. That passage I read you about the anointing breaking the yoke is a very contemporary passage because just before that it mentions the Assyrian. The Assyrian is the Old Testament name for the Antichrist. And that promise there is that the anointing will break his yoke. His yoke. The greatest thing that the devil can conjure up out of the bowels of hell, the anointing will break his yoke off of us. We don't need to be afraid of the devil, but we need to be in relationship with an indwelling Christ. Let that anointing be in you. Let that anointing rise up within you. Amen. I love the anointing. I love it because the anointing can do what nothing else can do. As I can't explain it. I can't justify it. But I just say that Jesus is not only the anointed one. I believe he's mixed into the oil of the anointing. That it has to do with the indwelling of the Lord in your lives. Amen. This is a wonderful adventure we get to go on. Man, I mean, he uses people of all ages, doesn't he, Lily? The Lord speaks to her, and she's only, 6 years old? The Lord spoke through her little brother last week, said something incredibly profound. Because they've been taught to expect Jesus to be in them. They go in the grocery store and they go, do you know Jesus? They're bold because they have the anointing. And they have nobody told them you can't do that. Nobody told them that that's not proper. No, that's normal. That's normal for all ages. Amen. Is to let that anointing rise up in you. To expect great things of God. To expect great things of him. Amen. So I just want to encourage all of us tonight. Will you stand together with me? And we stand for a moment in the presence of the Lord. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh upon us. May the living, resurrected Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, dwell in fullness within us tonight. Lord, we want to be empowered. We want to be empowered, Lord, for the things that you want to do in the earth in this day. We want to be like Caleb. We want to be like Joshua. Lord, people not afraid to go up and trust the anointing within us to defeat the enemy before us. To go in and possess the highest mountains. And dispossess the biggest giants and to inherit the best that there is for your name's sake. For Lord, we are your inheritance. Yes. And you died to possess us. Lord, we want to live to possess a kingdom for your name's sake. So, Lord, we just pray right now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. 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 Lord, we're not asking for a vision. We're asking for a visit, an indwelling. Lord, we don't want you to just come. We want you to come and stay. Lord, in us, through these days, through these hours, Lord, Almighty God, come and empower us, Lord, with that power of the anointing. Lord, we just submit anew and afresh to your anointing tonight, Lord, in the mighty name, and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. Sindera da mondo rebosi, ondo rebosi, ando rababasanda, ori avando riamande, yellow buroki, ambura mamasande, ki le morabasindi, eleborobo, ki ama, ori amando rebosindi, elemor, amando riaki, andarababakore, ila maramasende, olobuku yamande. I lebora bassindi e la bocuria bande, oria mando ria bocchidi arara la bando re le bossia, ore bondo re le bossanda. Lord, Lord, I release that anointing to move in the hearts of your people here tonight, Lord. Lord, we're asking, Lord, we're asking you, Jesus, to come and rule and reign in us. Come and rule and reign in us. Come and rule and reign in us, O Lord.